Belong with me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Good to be here today. It's pretty chilly outside, but it's good to be here. I want to start first with a story about a young man who worked for me, or with me rather, at Wisconsin Academy. His name was Eric, and I worked there about 12 years, and I had two different shifts of people that would work for me, students. And every time that they came in and the shift changed, we would have a short worship where we'd read a scripture, talk about it a little bit, and then we'd have a prayer list. And we would, you know, we'd pray for these people or concerns, whatever it was that was really on the students' hearts. And I would tell them that when they pray, they have to believe that God hears them, that God loves them, and that God is doing something because they prayed. And I told them, you've got to watch for a signal from the Lord that he is doing something in the person's life that you're praying for. You watch, and you will. God will give you a sign. They will do something out of character, and that will be your signal that God wants you to keep on praying because he's doing something. Well, Eric, he was a senior this year, and he loved his grandpa really a lot. And his grandpa didn't live in the state, so he didn't get to see him very much. And his grandfather was not well. He was pretty sick, and Eric was really worried about him. And sometimes Eric would come to school and he'd be wearing one of his grandpa's coats, or he'd be wearing his grandpa's pants. I mean, they were really retro, you know. And anyways, he was getting ready to go down to the state for Thanksgiving with his family to see the grandpa and the grandma and the rest of the relatives. And so he was really praying for grandpa, because he didn't know if maybe it'd be the last time he'd even see him. He was that sick. And Eric was worried more about his salvation, the grandpa's salvation, than even his health. And so we prayed, and I told him, you gotta watch. God's gonna let you see something or hear something, just watch. And when Eric came back after that long weekend, he was so excited. He said, Grandpa said something that was so out of character for him, and no one noticed it but me. And he said, I know that God is doing something in his life, you know? And when I think of that story and I think of Eric, I realize that sometimes we're praying for people and we're not watching to see if God is really doing something. And he will show us so that he can encourage us to pray even more. Or when he shows us and we're in tune, we will hear something that we know that's the direction now to pray. It's like something God wants you to pray even more directly for. And so when I was, when I was thinking about this watching and praying, you know, Jesus talked about that quite a bit. And one of the things we're going to do today is when we go through certain things, different little steps on prayer and stuff, we're going to just stop and pray. And so, I want to pray right now because what Eric was experiencing, it was part of the prayer journey that we're on that is personal and individual, and it's separate from each person you are praying for, whether you're a coworker, somebody in your family, your neighbor. They are each different, and God's going to show you on every single person. He's going to show you something so that you will be encouraged that he's doing something. So anyways, let's just stop right now, and we're just going to pray about that we can start really watching for things that God is doing for the people we're praying for. Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we had such a beautiful prayer time with these young people just a few minutes ago, and we know that you love it when we talk directly to you. And we are just so thankful that you have given us this avenue called prayer to just speak right to you. And Lord, we want to be like Eric. We want to really pay attention to the people we're praying for and to listen and to watch for what it is that you're doing in their life. And I just want to thank you, Lord, that that's exactly what you want to do for us. So thank you for answering this prayer. Amen. Now, another thing that, you know, we've got to watch for, and that is the signs of the time. And I don't have to say hardly anything about that. I mean, we are living so in the middle of everything happening. It's just coming together. It's like Mark Finley keeps saying, we're living on the knife edge of eternity. We're like right there. And I don't know how many of you have ever listened to Walter Veith. He does this What's Up, Bruff, and it's kind of like a week of what's going on in the world, and he ties it all together into, you know, what's going on, or what the Bible says, and what's going on in the world. It's pretty interesting. Talk to me afterwards if you want to know a little more about that. But we're going to look today, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark 13, and we're going to start at verse 26. Mark 13, 26. Now this chapter, Mark 13, is like Matthew 24. It's all talking about when Jesus told us about the signs of his coming, what to look for. And we're going to start reading in Mark 13, 26. It goes like this. This is Jesus speaking. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, no man knoweth, no, not even the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And here you can hear Jesus use that word watch four times. He is telling us that this is an important thing for us to do. And we as Adventists of all people should not be asleep when we know what we know and we understand all of the different aspects of the signs of Christ's coming. And you know, there are so many Christians out there that love God, but they don't have all the pieces. And I remember when I first became an Adventist, I remember telling I remember telling Greg this, but I remember telling people this. I said, I always knew certain things about God, but I didn't have all the pieces to the puzzle. It was like the wall. It was like you had this wall, and it was a puzzle you were supposed to figure out, and I only had about 10 pieces to it. And how are you gonna know what that looks like if you don't have all the pieces? And so when we look at this as Adventists, we know that Jesus is saying to us, you people have to watch different than anybody else because you're the watchmen. You're the ones that are going to sound the alarm. And as we pray and as we watch, we know that God is going to do something different in us. When you get on your knees and you start praying and you start asking for the Holy Spirit because you know that He has entrusted us with this job to let people know, He will open the doors. It's not like we have to do all the work. God does everything, and He just says to you, I just need you to be praying. I need you to be open to what's going on around you and the people around you, and love them, care for them. That's your work, to love them and care for them and to notice them. And anyways, as we look at this, we realize that Jesus, when He was in the garden, He said the same thing to His special friends, to the disciples. And turn right over in Mark 14 and 32. And I'm just going to read this quickly too. Mark 13, 32. And it says, they came to a place which is called Gethsemane. He said to His disciples, sit here while I pray. And He took with Him Peter, James, and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. He said unto them, my soul's exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And He went forward a little, and He fell on the ground, and He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto You. Take away this cup from Me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. And He came and found them sleeping, and He said to Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Now, when I look at this and I hear what Jesus is saying about watching and about praying, he's talking, I think we as an end time generation, I think we're going to go through this experience that the disciples went through and right before the time, you know, the hard things that are coming at us. And he's letting us know that we need to be wide awake at this time. And when He says, watch and pray at this time to His special friends, He's inviting them to watch Him as He is praying to the Father. And it's like He's wanting them to watch what He's going through. He's wanting them to watch how He is struggling in prayer with the Father. He's wanting them to listen and to hear how He is praying at this desperate time, in this time in His life that's so traumatic. And the disciples fall asleep. And it just speaks to our hearts today. It's like, are we going to fall asleep instead of watch Jesus? And you know, as you read the scriptures and you start looking for Jesus, you don't read it just to, I don't know, get ammunition to argue with somebody who doesn't agree with you. You read the scripture to find God's heart. And you read the scripture to really enter into that close relationship with Jesus that He keeps drawing us to with His loving kindness, it says. And I look at this and I just think, I need to keep my eyes watching Jesus. I need to keep watching Him. And, you know, it is so easy for us right now to really get sidetracked on everything that is going on. Man, if there isn't enough things to for Satan to use to try to draw us into something opposite of keeping our eyes focused on Jesus and keeping straight to the mark of caring about other people, I don't know how much more could come into our lives that are strong, heavy-duty things that are just trying to get your eyes away from Jesus. And as we pray, as you pray, that's what you ask Jesus. You know, like some people say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, yes, you do. All you have to do is start praying about the stuff that is going on around you and just say, Lord, I don't know how to make it through this. I need you. Or, Lord, this is really affecting me. When I turn on the news and all it talks about is this or it talks about that, it just causes me to feel like, you know, desperate, or it causes me to have fear, or it causes me anxiety, whatever it might be. That's what you need to tell Jesus about. And that's what you need to tell him and say, Lord, I need your help with this, because I wasn't expecting this, you know? This is different than what I thought it was going to be like. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff you pray about. In fact, in Romans, let's turn to Romans quick. Romans 8, and I'm trying to remember. Romans 8, and it's verse 26. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps your infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So you see, it's not a matter of you having absolutely the right words to say or the right punctuation in your, you know, in your prayer. It's that the Holy Spirit is going to take whatever your heart is trying to say, and he's going to take that, and he is going to put it into, doesn't even say words, it says groanings. He's going to take that to the heart of God, and God will know what's happening in your life, what you need, what you want. And, you know, I was reminded of, you know, of this watching and how it has lots to do with who you trust and who you believe is in charge. And I remember when our son Dustin was going through officer training, and how hard that was, and how one of the first things that they did is they just demanded that the trainees would do exactly what they said, exactly when they said it, and you had to just obey, no questions asked. It didn't matter if it just seemed like the most foolish thing to do. You had to learn to trust that that person knew more of what was going on than you did. And it makes me think of in Joshua. In fact, we'll turn to that too. Let's turn to Joshua 5. And just read it right from the Bible. You know, when you start reading your Bible and you start relying on that to where you get your strengths, where you get your wisdom, where you get your ideas on what to pray for, you're going to find that your prayer life, you don't have enough time to pray. Not that you can't think of what to pray. You don't have enough time to pray. And this is Joshua 5:13. And I love this picture. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went on to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, neither. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord? Unto his unto his servant. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose your shoes from off your foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And that picture of the Lord of hosts coming down, and Joshua says to him, are you for us or are you for the enemy? And he says, neither. I'm here to lead the battle. Are you falling in line behind me? You know, he's the one in charge of this. We have to be the ones that say, I am following you, Lord, where you lead. And when I picture Joshua here. He was out, he was probably out praying because he had some heavy responsibility on him. He was supposed to lead the children into the promised land. And he was out in the morning light, probably looking for God to help him and give him some instruction. And the Lord came down, the commander of the Lord of hosts came down and said, I'm the one in charge. It's just a beautiful picture. And to me, you know, it's just before Joshua went into the promised land. That's us. We are here. We are at that same spot that Joshua and the children of Israel were at. And it was real for them, just as real as it is right now for us. And so I look at these stories and I just love them. In fact, I think we should pray right now. Dear Lord in heaven, we believe, we honestly believe that we are about to cross over into the heavenly Canaan. And Lord, we feel probably about as the same way Joshua felt, like wondering how this was going to be done. And Lord, he believed and he saw you and he knew that you were in charge and that you were the one going to take them through. And I just pray, Lord, that each one of us here, as we pray, as we draw closer to you through our Bible study and prayer, that you will give us that peace and let us know that you're in charge and that you are going to take us through. We are so thankful for this picture in the Bible, Lord. Amen. I want to share a story that happened, quite a few years ago, probably 15. And Greg's aunt is Ruthie Jacobson, and she was prayer coordinator for North American Division. And she had been invited to go to the big Arlington church in Texas and do a weekend of prayer, Friday night, three times on Saturday, and then Sunday morning. And she couldn't do it, so she called up us and she said, I want you guys to go in my place, because we had done some prayer ministries with her in different countries. And so we said, okay, and we began to pray. And we didn't know, sometimes it can be real intimidating when you go somewhere. And, you know, Greg and I, we had no titles. You know, we had no degrees. And we went to a church that had four pastors, you know, and they had three church services. And, you know, it can be challenging. And anyways, when we got there at this church, it was so funny. It was every time we went around the corner, there was a poster of us. And there were posters all over. And we thought, oh, my, you know. And hear what it was. And we didn't find this out till we were down there. Hear what it was there was a small group of older people in the church that were praying people. And they wanted a revival in their church. And so they had been praying and praying and praying for a revival. And they'd been praying for a prayer weekend. So that's how we wound up getting there. Well, we were so amazed by what God did. It was unbelievable. And the pastors there were really amazed too, because the congregation just responded to every single thing that was going on. And we all knew that it was because this small little handful of people, older people, had been praying. And the response, they had response cards out to give to the people, and the people just responded. There was this one time when the praise team was singing this song, and I've never heard it before or since. And it goes, I stand in awe of you. I don't know if you know that one. Yes, it is beautiful. And all of a sudden, the people in the congregation just were standing up, and they were singing, and nobody was telling them to. They were just caught by the Holy Spirit. And that whole weekend, there was all kinds of things, like things where people were having struggles and people were upset with people and people were just dealing with all kinds of issues that just suddenly started being resolved. And we just thought, wow, this is pretty amazing to be in this situation and to watch God work, because people were praying for their church. And I know Terry and Christine, they've got a burden to pray for our church. I don't know how many of you are thinking that same way. I can see some heads nodding, but I feel that way too. I feel like we have really got to start praying for each other and for each other's families. You know, it's important that we pray for each other. And I think that we should stop and pray right now again and ask God to really put our church on our hearts in a special way, and for a pastor and his family. Pastors they've got a tough job today, and it's going to get tougher. So let's pray. Dear Lord, you know everything. You know everything that's going on in this church. You know all the pain and the heartache, and you know the areas where people are struggling, whether it's with another person or whether it's something personal in their life or whether it's even with you, Lord. And we just want to lift our church up to you, and there's so many missing members, and we miss them. That's why they're called missing members. And Lord, we just pray you'll speak to their hearts today and let them know that you really love them, and let them know that we really care, and help us, Lord, to be even more of a united church. Help this not to divide us, what's going on in the world. Help it to unite us, Lord. We thank you so much for the way and the ability you have to bring people together and to unite them in solid ways. We love you, Lord. Amen. Excuse me. There is really a lot that I could say about prayer. I mean, prayer is such a huge topic, and you could go from, you know, you can go from the east to the west with it, and it was hard to figure out what to even talk about. But another thing that I thought is important that we realize with prayer is the act of forgiveness. And that is something where God says, if you don't forgive, he doesn't forgive us, and he doesn't hear our prayers. And forgiveness doesn't have to be that it's somebody who is your enemy. Forgiveness can be somebody that you know and love. And here's an example. When Greg and I moved to the Dominican Republic, you know, it was tough. Life was tough, but it was also very freeing. We didn't have anything to worry about. You know, even though it was kind of hard, you know, where we were at and what we had to do and the work and everything. But there was no anxiety like we have around here that we live with pretty constant, you know, having to make money and having to pay bills and all this. Well, anyway, everybody, you know, our family, everybody was happy down there. And I was doing homeschool and, you know, learning how to cook all over again and learning how to wash clothes by hand and all this type of stuff. But I realized that I was not happy, you know, and it was only me and God. And I thought, what is this about? Why am I not happy? I don't get it. And so I started praying about it. And I just started asking God, please tell me, please show me what this is about. I don't understand what's going on. Why am I so unhappy when there's no reason to be? And after about 3 days of praying, very distinctly, I heard the Lord, an impression, say to me, you're not going to like it. And I, you know, I was kind of shocked by that answer, but I said, Lord, I need to know. And I started fasting and praying. And about a day and a half later, and it was in the middle of the day, and I just couldn't stand it anymore, and I went down to the house, and I knelt down by my bed, and I just said, Lord, please, please tell me what this is about. And he did this quick little picture of something Greg had done that made me so mad at him that the minute God showed it to me, I was mad all over again. And I mean, seriously, and I instantly tried to defend myself. I was saying, but Lord, he knew that that would bother me, or Lord, you know how I feel, that hurts, and everything like that. And I didn't want to deal with it. That was all I had to say with the prayer. And I got up and I left my prayer place, and I went about my day, but I couldn't pray. I knew I couldn't come back to God now and try to pray, because now I knew, and this was in the way. And so I took about 2-3 days before I finally, you know, I was missing the Lord, where I finally came back and just knelt down and just poured it all out. And I just said, God, that hurt me so bad. How could he have done that? And you know, Greg, well, not all guys are like this, but he was oblivious. He was. He had absolutely no concept of how bad that had hurt. Well, anyway, me and God walked through it together. And I knew that he had brought me to the place of forgiveness. You know, there's a place where you just all of a sudden know you're free. Well, anyways, he brought me to that. Well, a couple days later, I was up and I was scrubbing some laundry, and that was like, there was a water tower on the campus that we were at, and the water tower, and it came down like this, and you could walk straight through here, and that's where you would go scrub your laundry. You know, you had big cement, like tubs type, you know, sinks. And there was showers for the girls and the restroom on this side and for the boys on that side. So I'm up there and I'm scrubbing. And down here was where the kitchen was and the sanctuary. And then there was our house here and boys' dormitory there, girls down there. So anyways, Greg was walking. He come walking up through from the kitchen area and was going to walk right by where I was at. And I heard him coming, you know, and he had his head down and he was contemplating what it was he was doing, and you know, and I stepped out from the water tower and I said, hey, you know, I just kind of started joking around with him or kidding around with him, and he perked right up and was talking and goofing around, and all of a sudden he said to me, you like me again. I had no idea that he felt that division, but he knew it too. And as soon as he said that, I said, well, that's because I decided to forgive you. And he said, forgive me? Forgive me for what? And I said, never mind, I don't remember, but you better not do it again, you know? And he was like, do it again? How do I know if you don't tell me? And I honestly could not remember what it was. And I still do not remember what it was. God has the ability not just to help us forgive somebody, but he'll help you forget it. And I just praised him for that. And we are going to stop right now, and we're going to pray, because I'm sure that if you went home and you said, Lord, I'm going to get a piece of paper and a pencil out, and you show me if there's somebody I need to forgive, something that's in my heart, stone in my heart, he will give it to you, and you will be upset as soon as you hear it, because it really upsets you. But God will take you through. God has the ability to give us the gift of repentance, the gift of forgiveness, and he wants to do that for us. He wants to clean this stuff out of us. And so let's pray. Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we know that as a group of sinners, we have a hard time forgiving when someone hurts us, when someone ignores us, when someone treats us like we don't feel we should be treated that way. And Lord, we also know that we probably have done that to them or to someone, and just even oblivious that we've hurt people. Dear God, please forgive us, and please give us that ability to want to forgive and to want to be forgiven in such a clean way that there's nothing that can be held against us in this area. I thank you so much that you also have the ability to help us to forget what others have done. We love you, Lord, and we are extremely thankful for your forgiveness for our sins. In your name, dear Jesus, I pray. Amen. I have some texts that go with that. If anybody wants to know them, you can talk to me afterwards, and I will let you know. Now, another thing that I know is hard on everyone's heart. Well, maybe before I tell that story, let me just share a couple things. This is something that I started doing for my prayer time that really, it has really helped me a lot. Because I've got this, and I get journals from people, and I'm not one who journals every day and stuff like this, but this I decided to do as promises of God. And when I come across something in the Bible that really speaks to me as, you know, that God has promised that he will, you know, help me in this area, or he will protect my family, or he will, you know, he will take me through whatever it is that I'm going through right now, then I write the promise down. You know, like I underline it in my Bible, but I also write the text down, and then I might write what it was saying to me. And I just, and it's something very simple. You know, it's nothing difficult or anything like that, but it really has been, it's been really encouraging to me, and you can look back on it, and you can see, you know, you can read something, and you go, I wonder what I was going through at that time that I would write that in there. You know, because every time you open your Bible and read it, it speaks differently depending on what you're going through. And so anyways, that's one thing that I have done that makes my prayer time and Bible study time really alive and really feels connected with God in a really amazing way. Just feels connected, because when you're reading the Bible in that way and you're talking to God and you're reading and you think and you feel like he is speaking right back to you because it's what you need to hear, then it's just really, it's really nice. It's really important. And, you know, lots of times God has given me people to pray for, and I've had quite a list. It just keeps growing. And so it feels like it takes a long time to pray for all these people. And I was getting to a place to where I didn't feel like I was praying for my family and my loved ones like I wanted to. And I started really taking that to God and just saying, Lord, where do I find time to where I really spend a lot of time praying for my family? I'm concerned about them. And I know that everybody here feels the same way about somebody in their family, if at least one, probably more. But anyways, this is what God just impressed me of one night. He said to me in just this beautiful way that he likes to do things, he said, you may take Friday night when the sun goes down, and you may pray for your family only. You don't need to pray for another single person. And I was pretty excited about that. And I told my prayer partner, Linda Johnson, that, and she was doing the same thing then. She was going to do the same thing. But what I did is I took a book, and I wrote every single one of my children's names down on a separate page. They each get their own page by order of age, and all my grandchildren, order of age. Then I took my brothers, order of age, and then I took my sister, and I took my nieces and my nephews, and I went right smack down the whole family. And then I did something that was more grouped together with the Nelson side, the Mason side, the Roberts side, and the Bud side. And what I did, and this was God just inspired me how to do this, because everyone was different. Every week and every person is different. And I started out by asking each one, is there something special I could pray for? So they told me what it was that week. But then after that, it was like a scripture that had been important to me through the week would come back to mind, and I'd write that scripture down, and I would write what part of that scripture I prayed for that individual. And every single individual was different. And it was amazing how God just showed me the difference that each one of my loved ones needed. And then one time, it was a song that had been going through my mind for like 2-3 days. And it just popped in. I hadn't heard it. It was a song from long ago. And I decided to use that song. And it would be like maybe for, well, Heidi, it might be that there was part of this verse that I would be singing or going through the song, it would be that part that God would impress upon me to pray for her. It'd be a totally different part of that song for the next person. And I went through that, and I'll tell you what, that took a long time. It was like I spent a long time praying on Friday nights for my family. It was really nice. But anyways, it went for about 9-10 months, and I haven't, and it's filled up, so I have to get a different notebook. So anyways, the reason that I bring that up is because I know that family is really important to be praying for. And I have prayed for my family, you know, since I became an Adventist Christian. And I want to tell you something amazing that just happened. At Thanksgiving, my oldest brother, Reggie, he is amazing. And he is one of these people that he was real charismatic. He was very athletic. He was very just commanding, kind of. And he just did his own thing, and he just, you know, had like a little pack of people that followed him all the time. Well, anyways, he had lots of reasons to be proud, not be humble. And so that's really how he was. He was pretty proud, not very humble. And when he left Wisconsin to go to Texas, where he lives now, he left because he was in trouble with the law. And he stopped by my house, and I had only been an Adventist maybe a year, year and a half. And he came by to say goodbye and that he was going to head out fast. And I had a desire of ages that I loved because I had it marked, and I loved my hard copy. And I gave him that book to take with him, and I said, you need to read this book. He had problems with the drugs, with the alcohol. He was just, he was one of these guys you wouldn't want to run into in the back alley. He was tough. Well, anyway, I kept trying to, you know, call him and talk to him and encourage him to go to church, you know, because he wanted to change. He just was struggling all over the place. Well, anyway, I called him one Sabbath morning, and I said, go to church. And he said, I don't have anything to wear. And he had long hair down here. And I said, nobody cares. Just, you know, go to church. And he told me that when he decided he was going to go, he said, you know, I was still hung over and a whole bit from the night before. And he said, when I started down the road, he said, I decided if those people don't accept me the way I am, I'm just going to, you know, he was just had this attitude. And anyways, fortunately, when he walked in the door, the first person he met went up and just hugged him and loved him and welcomed him in. We are so glad you're here today. Even the way he looked. And she turned out to becoming his mother-in-law. But anyway, Reggie went through, becoming even one of the elders in the church. I mean, he was a smart guy, and he, you know, pretty charismatic, like I say. And then the Ford movement happened, and he went out with that. And since then, he had become a Baptist minister. And he'd had like 2-3 different churches, and then he stopped being a minister, and he was doing carpentry. And anyways, he's never really cared much about what anybody else in the family is going through. He's just doing his thing and, you know, doing okay, but I mean, he just never reconnected much. Well, anyways, he might call me, you know, and goof around and laugh for a couple minutes, but he called me on Thanksgiving, and he, you know, he was like, happy Thanksgiving, how you doing, what are you going to do today, and all this stuff. And then somehow we always get on the topic of God, and then he said something, and, you know, I didn't necessarily agree with that, or he was trying to poke it at me, and I said, no, I don't believe that, you know, and he knows what I believe. And he mockingly laughed at it. And this is how he could be, kind of put you down pretty quick, make you look and feel stupid. Well, anyway, on December 16, he called me up one morning, and he said to me, Lisa, we need to have worship together every morning. I need you to be praying with me. And anyway, I could not believe the difference in the tone of his voice even. It was so humble. And I thought, boy, what in the world has happened here? And anyways, he has called me every single morning at 7 in the morning. And we have a worship together, and we read some scripture together. We both take turn praying together, and it usually takes us 45 minutes to an hour. And I'm really learning all kinds of stuff about him and what he has gone through and how he thinks. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a part of me that when he starts saying something that is really kind of off the wall, I feel like, you know, jumping in there and kind of correcting. But I don't feel that I'm supposed to. Like, I've been impressed. Just listen. And after I would hang up, I'd say, God, I'm feeling like maybe I'm letting you down by not saying what I believe is true. And the Lord impressed me that as I listen, I am learning more and more how to pray because I know what I'm up against. Because this is the stuff that he's been thought or that he's been taught and that he thinks. And some of it is pretty strange, pretty far out there. But I've been praying for him, and I can see the difference. And he's even said to me, I can't believe how wonderful this is to talk with you and to pray with you. And as I thought of this prayer time, all I could think of is how much we are praying for our loved ones, and we don't have a clue what God is saying to them. Or doing at Thanksgiving, I would have thought Reggie was still as far away as it could get. And it was, you know, 2 weeks later, and he's at this place. And so my encouragement to each one of us is do not think that God isn't doing something when you're praying for your family. He is speaking to them. He is shining light into the darkness. He's speaking to them. And so I think we should pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you have given us loved ones in our family to love and to care for and to pray for. And dear Lord, sometimes it just seems like they don't have any desire to change, that they are just going in the opposite direction or not doing anything. And Lord, we just believe that when we pray to you, that you just love to speak to them, just like you do to us. And so, Lord, we are lifting up our loved ones right now to you. And I know that every one of us has somebody that is on our heart right now. And I just pray to your Heavenly Father that you will take these Sabbath moments and you'll just go speak to your wayward children. Call them back to you with your loving kindness like you have us. We are so thankful, Lord, that you are a God who can speak to people no matter what's going on in their life, no matter where they're at. You know how to speak to them. We love you, Lord. And we can't wait to spend eternity with you and with our loved ones. In your name I pray, dear Jesus. Amen. I want to end with 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Friends, that is speaking to us today. And I am praying that you will make this new year, 2022, the year of watching and listening unto prayer and Bible study. Let's pray for each other this year. Amen.